I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, you may have heard about the Army reservist who was called up for duty and brought her kids along because she said she had nobody to take care of them. We're going to talk with a group of military moms about how they managed to serve their country and raise their kids at the same time. That's our mom's conversation, and it's coming up in just a few minutes. But first, to the economy. America's economic slump is hurting more than Americans. According to a new report by the World Bank, the global economy could shrink this year for the first time since the 1940s. And the fallout from the crisis threatens to crush the economies of some developing nations. Joining us to talk about these issues are Tell Me More regular financial contributor Alvin Hall and Stephen Mufson. He's a financial reporter for The Washington Post. I welcome you both. Thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
Alvin, how did this American financial crisis turn into a global financial crisis?
Well, as Americans decide that they feel vulnerable because of job losses, reduced income, and just the uncertainty of the economy, the first thing they did was to cut back on their spending. The things they stopped buying were a lot of things that were imported from places like China, Japan, Brazil. So automatically you started to see a domino effect as sales from those countries into America started to decline. And that started the domino effect around the world of all countries that import things or export things into the U.S.
Steve, could you remind listeners what the World Bank is and what it does?
Well, the World Bank is an international organization that's designed to reduce global poverty. And it does that mostly through long-term project lending, but it can also do that by lending to support government budgets.
And when they say that the global economy is going to shrink for the first time in decades, what does that exactly mean? I mean, I know in this country people have seen their 401k monies just kind of disappear. What does that mean in a global sense?
Well, for developing countries, Michelle, it's much more serious because here we have programs like unemployment insurance and Medicaid that help people when they are in dire straits. But in the developing world, you don't really have these social safety nets in as many places. And so there, you're really talking about people falling into dire poverty. And this pretty alarming World Bank report this week says that the crisis could push 46 million people into poverty just in 2009 alone in developing countries.
Alvin, in the past, a lot of American investors have seen these countries as places of opportunity, places where they could find emerging companies, get big returns on their investments. If you could just explain exactly what's happening, is it that because Americans are concerned, they're hunkering down, they're bringing their money back home?
I think there are two levels of concern. First, it was a lot of private equity companies that went into these emerging markets, saw businesses there, and put money into those businesses, hoping to get a great return. Right now, because of the credit crisis and the shrinking availability of credit, a lot of those companies are pulling out and they're funding less in those countries. So those Eastern European countries have less access to private equity. The other thing, the other component of this involves financing. As they built these new factories and buildings, they would often finance these projects by issuing debt. Typically, these countries would issue debt in either euros or the Swiss franc. What has happened since that time? The value of those local currencies has plummeted. As a result, just paying interest on the outstanding debt is now becoming a huge and onerous burden for these countries. Also, a lot of the debt is coming up for refinancing in 2009, 2010. As they're coming to the credit markets to try to refinance that debt, they're discovering there are no buyers because everybody is retreating into safety. They don't want to buy the debts of these corporations in these countries. They want to buy the safest debt in the world, which is the debt of the U.S. government.
Steve, do you have something to add to that?
Well, just that Alvin's exactly right. I mean, banks have been peddling all sorts of loans in the developing world, and some of these weren't even that prudent. Some of the subprime mortgages that we've had here have also been packaged and sold to some of these developing countries, too. So you really have a cascading problem in these developing countries, both from a financing point of view and a trade point of view.
Are some parts of the world more affected than others, Steve?
I think there isn't any part of the world that isn't affected. If you're Singapore, trade has plummeted. If you're the Philippines, you have lower remittances from foreign workers, as well as lower exports. If you're a commodity-producing country, the price of commodities has gone down, and a lot of developing countries depend on non-oil commodities. They may get a little boost from the drop in the price of oil, but they may get hit by the drop in whatever commodities they're producing. So there really is hard to find any country that hasn't been touched by this crisis.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm talking to Alvin Hall, our regular contributor on matters of personal finance and the economy, and Washington Post financial reporter Steve Mufson about the global impact of America's recession. The World Bank is calling on developed nations to direct a percentage of the money they're using towards stimulus programs into a vulnerability fund. This fund is to help developing countries. Steve, what exactly would this fund do?
Well, the fund would do all sorts of things. It would provide some direct budget support, but I think also mostly providing loans to help companies and developing country governments roll over loans that are coming due. I mean, just in 2009 alone, there's probably about a trillion, according to the World Bank, over $1 trillion of corporate debt coming due in emerging countries, and $2.5 to $3 trillion in total emerging market debt.
Do you see the political will to do this?
Well, I don't that much, although I think it's going to be discussed at the Group of 20 meeting this weekend. The European Union is talking about trying to increase resources for the International Monetary Fund. There's been some talk about it here. It's a tough sell at a time when these developed countries are struggling to right their own ship.
If you would just explain briefly what the Group of 20 is.
The Group of 20 is the group of the largest 20 largest economies in the world. So they're the ones who really carry the burden of financing international organizations such as the International Monetary Fund.
Alvin, what do you think? I mean, do you see the political will in the developed countries to offer this kind of aid? And what do you think the consequences will be if they don't?
Well, I don't see the will among the developing countries. Yesterday, I was having lunch with a friend, and he told me an amazingly shocking story. One of the investment bankers at one of the companies that has received a lot of money from the U.S. government had sent around a breakdown of the Obama stimulus package, and everywhere there was something that involved helping people, they had stamped it with welfare, welfare, welfare. And he said to this friend that if you have not paid over $100,000 in taxes, then you have no voice in the U.S. government recovery. I thought that attitude among the people on Wall Street showed just how ungenerous they are, and I think it seeps into other areas of the economy. So I don't see the will there on the part of developing countries. I think they underestimate the anger that will happen, that will build up toward these countries. You've offered this olive branch of hope, of economic prosperity, and then you snatch it back. Revolutions start this way. And I don't think we in America or in other developed countries understand those types of revolutions.
What about the role of remittances, of immigrants, say, who work in one country and send money home to another?
That's hugely important. If you look at countries like Dubai, you look at Indonesia, a huge amount of foreign workers come there, do jobs in construction, do jobs in domestic services, and then they send the money back home to support their families in the countries that they come from. If these people are laid off, then they are not sending money back home, which is also causing the growth in their home countries to shrink. That's a huge percentage of this.
And Steve, you were mentioning that the G20 finance ministers and central bank governors meeting is scheduled for this weekend. What other plans are there for addressing this crisis that could we expect to come out of this meeting? What are they talking about?
Well, they'll be talking about the crisis in their own countries, too. But I wanted to just say one thing about what Alvin was saying also, which is that the only reason to perhaps hope for action on the international front isn't just at a question of generosity, but a question of self-interest. If these countries are defaulting on their loans, who's holding those loans? You're talking about Western banks. So this could be another whole wave of trouble for Western banks. And I think that will get the attention of finance ministers and governments in developed countries.
And Steve, finally, Ed, that same question that Alvin answered. What's the worst-case scenario in your view?
Well, the worst-case scenario is that this entire crisis is prolonged, and that the banks, which are struggling and are at really the heart of this whole crisis, will get hit by another wave of problems when they're already in a weakened state.
Steve, you don't see political instability as being a problem in countries where you have all of these men who are unemployed suddenly?
Absolutely, Alvin. I agree with you completely about that. And even in the best case scenario, you know, if there's considerable lending by the IMF and World Bank, it still won't be enough to keep these countries from sliding into recession. It's just a question of how dire that recession is going to be. But it's going to exist. I mean, it's already taken hold, and I do think that you're right. We will see political stability problems in a lot of places.
Steve Mufson is a financial reporter for The Washington Post. He was kind enough to join us by phone from Washington. Alvin Hall is Tell Me More's regular contributor on matters of personal finance and the economy. He joined us from our New York bureau. I thank you both so much for speaking with us.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Michelle.
And at Tell Me More, of course, the conversation never ends. We'd like to hear from you. If you have family or friends overseas, how has the global economic crisis affected them? And if you are sending money to help family or friends overseas, has the recession forced you to make any changes? To tell us more, you can call our comment line at 202-842-3522. Again, that's 202-842-3522. Please remember to tell us your name, or you can always go to our website at npr.org and blog it out.